Well, Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, God, we ask that you would open our hearts, soften our hearts where needed, because, Lord, you want to plant your life and your word deep within us. So, God, help us on this journey of not being surfacey kind of people, shallow people. Lord, we want to grow deep with you and with each other. So help us, Lord, and open our hearts, our minds to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at a particular story in Matthew chapter 13 over the past 3 weeks. And we're going to be in this particular story for a number of more weeks as we're talking about this topic of being rooted, about people who are not shallow people, but are ones that say, God, we want our roots down deep in you. And in Matthew chapter 13, we've been looking at the story of the sower who went to sow seed, and he sowed seed kind of indiscriminately, which I love. God does not discriminate. God loves to just sow his life and his word and his truth all over our planet and even right into our own lives. And it talks, though, not just about the seed, but it talks about 4 different kinds of soil, right? So we've been talking about these, and Bree, you can go ahead and put that next slide up to remind us of these 4 soils that we've been talking about over the past weeks. There's 4 kinds that are described. That is, the sower sowed seed, that seed, which represents his truth, his life, his word, that fell on 4 different kinds of soil. And when we look at those 4 kinds of soil, we realize that, hey, he's actually talking about not just dirt, he's talking about our lives. And that we've got areas in our lives that represent these 4 different kinds of soil. And number 1 is the hard soil. And Jesus said when seed goes on that kind of soil, it's kind of like that hard path. The seed is not able to penetrate because it's just hard and crusty. And so guess what happens? No penetration in there, so no root and no fruit. There's no fruit ever being born in those areas of life that are marked by hard soil. And there's a second kind of soil. It's the rocky soil, where there's some life that springs up because it's that shallow dirt where that seed goes in and really quickly starts to grow, but as it tries to put down roots, it's blocked by all these rocks. And we're going to be talking about what some of those things are as we go deeper into this conversation. But because there is no root, fruit doesn't get to be born in that life, and so it also represents a barren life, right? Some quick little leaves, but no fruit ever grows. And there's that third kind of soil. It's the weedy soil. Weedy dirt, okay? You've all seen dirt like this. You know, if you had to do gardening when you were a kid like I did, Mom would send me out to that little garden patch and say, you go get those weeds out. Because we know what happens if we don't get the weeds out. Guess what happens? Again, life springs up, but there are so many weeds there that they choke out the life of the plant. And so even though there's some like leafiness, no root, no fruit. Everybody say that. No root, no fruit. And we've been talking about that for our own lives. That, listen, not one of us, if we were honest, not one of us would say, man, what I really desire for my life is that I would be barren in my life. Man, I just want to live a barren life. I don't want fruit in my life. I don't want to be able to be resourced, and I don't want to be a resource for others. I just want to be barren in my relationships, in my finance, in my relationship with God, in my ministry to others. No, I just want to live a barren life. There's nobody that wants to be that. And in past weeks, we kind of described that as like being a little tumbleweed. You know, it's just a tumbleweed. You've seen those kind of driving through the desert and it kind of just rolls across the freeway. Nobody wants that kind of life where there is no fruit in it. All of us, if we were honest, man, we want to be like that tree that is solid and has deep roots and is not easily toppled over, is strong, is stable. And then because of that rootedness, there also comes beautiful fruit out of our lives. Beautiful fruit that is born, that not only resources us individually, but resources those closest to us. And that's the representation of the fourth soil. Good soil that allows that seed to penetrate, then to begin to grow. There's that germination that happened that we talked about last week where, man, we're making discoveries about what God has for us. And then we put down those roots that ultimately bear good fruit. So we've been talking about those four types of soil. And this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to be talking about that first kind of soil, the hard soil. Listen, a hard soil represents a hard heart. All through Scripture, man, we see so many stories that represent those that have been hard-hearted. And I'm telling you, when you look through the Old Testament, that's the stories all lead from creation, all leading up to before Jesus was born. And we look primarily at the story of Israel, God's people, God's chosen people that led all the way to Jesus. Let me tell you, one of the reasons that we're given all of those stories in the Old Testament is because it shows us what it looks like when people are either flourishing and are fruitful or are really, really barren because of things that are going on in their own story. And I want to show you really quickly one of those things that God had to address with hard-hearted people from the Old Testament. And it's found in the story of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7, starting in verse 9. Zechariah was a prophet of God. He was used to say, hey, this is what God is saying to his people. And I want you to see here what Zechariah was calling out. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. Judge fairly and show mercy and kindness to one another. Do not oppress widows, orphans, foreigners, and the poor. And do not scheme against each other. Can I tell you, man, all of us would probably say that, you know, hear that and say, man, God's pretty awesome. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us to oppress each other, come against each other, scheme against each other. And you know, and what he's saying there is that he actually wants us to do the opposite, is to offer protection to those who've been orphaned, to those who've been widowed, to the foreigner. Wow, what a beautiful message that God is bringing to his people. But then it says this, your ancestors refused to listen to this message. They stubbornly turned away and put their fingers in their ears to keep from hearing. Listen, this sounds so childish, doesn't it? Some of you I know have young kids. Do your kids ever do that to you? You're trying to like say, hey, this is the way life works. And it's like, la, 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 la. I'm not listening. I'm not listening. Can I tell you? We do the exact same thing to God. This story right here from Zechariah, can I tell you? He was addressing a group of people who were doing that to God. It's like, it sounds really juvenile. It sounds so childish. But I'm telling you, it's what you and I can end up doing if we are not really, really careful. Putting our fingers in our ears and not listening to the truth that God has for us. He wants to speak life to us, and sometimes that's challenging because sometimes God will address things in our heart and in our life and in our story that are maybe a little bit unflattering. We want to look in the mirror and we want to just see, man, perfection. We want to see like, man, I've got it all together. And God says, you know, I'm seeing some things that I want to like address in your life. My son, my daughter, I want to address that attitude that you have. I want to address that way of thinking that you have that is so not helpful. I want to address that area of habit or addiction that you keep struggling with that is causing you to not be fruitful in your life. I want to address that relationship that you are in that is really sucking you downward rather than lifting you up. I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about your finances. I want to talk to you about the fact that it's really not helpful or not going to allow you to be fruitful by you continuing to go into debt or to spend on things that are so unprofitable and unfruitful for your life. Oh my goodness, there are so many areas in life where God wants to speak to us and show us things, and sometimes they're the areas that are kind of unflattering about our own life and our story. And so sometimes we're just like putting our fingers in our ears just the way the people of God were doing back, we see in the Old Testament. They stubbornly turned away and put their fingers in their ears to keep from hearing. And then it goes on in verse 12. They made their hearts as hard as stone. I told you that this picture of the hard soil really is talking about having hard hearts. And that's what Zechariah is saying to God's people. They made their hearts as hard as stone, so they could not hear the instructions or the messages that the Lord of Heaven's armies had sent them by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. Now listen, here's the unfortunate result of having hard hearts and putting our fingers in our ears. Listen what happens. That is why the Lord of Heaven's army was so angry with them. Since they refused to listen when I called to them, I would not listen when they called to me, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. And you may say, hey, you know what? That's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. It's all different now. Hey, God's all good with me and my junk. I got rocks and weeds in my life. I'm crusty and hard when it comes to the things. I don't let anything of the Spirit of God come into my life. Man, seeds are just bouncing off my life. He's throwing stuff my way, his goodness, his love, his word, his truth. That just bounces right off of me, man. Like water off a duck's back. I am hard soil, but man, God is okay with that. God says, hey, I just love you, you little crusty clod of dirt. Listen, I'm telling you, God does love you, you crusty dirt clod. He desperately loves us. He loves us so completely and so fully, just the way we are. But I'm telling you, our crustiness and the hardness of our heart does have repercussions. And part of those repercussions is a barrenness in our life. When we look at our relationships and we say, man, they are just lifeless. My marriage is lifeless. My workplace is such a burden to me rather than a joy. Man, I'm just hitting up against anxiety and depression and blah, blah, blah. Can I tell you that sometimes, not always, but sometimes that can be because we just have not been open. We have not been receptive. We have not been the good soil that allows the love in, that allows the truth in to our lives. He loves us, but there are repercussions. There are repercussions. How would we know if we have a hard heart? Well, we have a hard heart anytime there's an area of our life when we tell God, stay away. If there's an area of our lives and we say, God, hey, thank you for saving me. Thank you that I get to be with you for eternity in heaven. But hey, when it comes to this area of my life, thank you, but I got that one all figured out. You can just stay back from that area of my life. God, you can have all of me, but not my sexuality. God, you can have all of me, but not my money. That's my money. I worked hard for that, so just stay out of that area of my life. I don't know what area that you may have a stay out sign up in, but a lot of us have different areas of life where we've told God, you cannot have that area of my life. I am not open and willing to that. Jesus, as he was talking with his disciples, in Matthew chapter 13, he shares this story with a bunch of people, but then he pulls his disciples aside and starts talking to them deeper about the meaning of the soils. And in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 and 19, this is what he says about the hard soil. He says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted where? In their hearts. I just want you to get that picture of that hard, crusty soil. And God loves us so much that he's sending us his truth, his love, his presence. But that thing represented as a seed is just sitting on the surface, unable to break through and actually create new life. It's that picture of the hard heart. And it comes where we hear. But that word understanding, but they don't understand, it's that it just stays on the surface and we don't allow it in. We don't allow it to penetrate our story. Because we have that sign up that says, stay away from that part of my life. We do not let it in. We hold it back and say, stay out. Can I tell you this? That none of us were born with hard hearts. None of us were born with hard hearts. I want to read you from Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, like what? Little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Why does Jesus say this? Because little kids don't have hard hearts. Children have these hearts of wonder and imagination, and when they hear about the goodness of God and God's love for them, guess what? They just like drink it in. I want you to put up that picture there, Bree. Put up that picture. You just got to see this picture. Listen, that represents all of us when we were young. There's this excitement and wonder about life. There is no crustiness there. There's no hardness there. There is just joy for living. There is joy for living. See, Jesus said this, we have to come like a little child if we're going to have good soil in our lives that God can plant things deeply in. We have to be like little children because none of us are born with hard hearts. Not one of us. My story is that my mom, when I was 3 years old, told me the story of Jesus. When I was 3, I can take you right back to where I was in Pleasant Hill, California, up in the Bay Area. I can remember the living room. I can remember the couch we were sitting on. And I can even remember my mom talking to me. I was only three. I was a very bright and mature three-year-old. I don't think so. I picked my nose with the best of the three-year-olds out there. There was no great maturity in my life at 3 years old. But can I tell you that as my mom shared with me the story of God and of Jesus dying for me, I can remember crying. I can remember that God penetrated the soil of my life really easily. And I remember as a three-year-old accepting Jesus in, putting my trust fully in him that I could have relationship with God. Now, I don't know, there's probably not too many three-year-olds, right, that give their lives to the Lord. But there's something that I shared a number of weeks ago about children. And then someone's even called it the 414 window. That between 4 years old and 14 years old is when people are most accepting of the things of the Lord. They're most, well, they've got the best soil because it hasn't become hardened, hasn't become packed down by all kinds of messes that we get into, and people haven't maybe trampled all over our hearts by the time we're in that 4 to 14 window. We must say, God, I need to come back to that time in my life. Next week, I'm going to tell you, we're in for a great message because Pastor Joel is going to bring the second part to this message about how do we allow the Lord to continue cultivating the soil of our lives to make sure that we stay young, that we stay fresh, that we stay receptive to the things of the Lord. We need to have good soil like children that are receptive to the things of the Lord. So what happens in our lifetime that creates hardness? I just want to tell you as we kind of move towards wrapping up this message this morning, I want to talk to you just about three things really quickly. I think there are three categories of things that kind of trample the soil of our life that end up with hard hearts, hard soil. Here's the three things: pain, pride, and poor choices. Pain, pride, and poor choices. And the way that I kind of diagrammed it there, at first I had them like as little bullet points, right? And as the more I thought about it, it's like, no, these aren't just three random things. I wanted to just show them connected, that they kind of go in a little bit of a vicious cycle. Because all three of them, like, actually amplify the others. When we make poor choices, guess what happens? More pain comes. And the more pain that comes in our life, then we get this pride of like, you know what? I deserve to make more wrong choices. I've had so much pain in my life, I deserve to go out and get drunk whenever I want to. Or I deserve whatever it is that poor choice may lead into. You know people that have gone from bad relationship to bad relationship to bad relationship. And it's like you look at that life and you say, you're gonna let another guy in to trample your heart, to stomp on your heart again? You're gonna let another guy in to do that to you? You're gonna let another woman come in and do that to your life? Have you ever seen someone who just goes from bad relationship to bad relationship? Have you ever seen that? Or from poor choice to poor choice? Listen, I think these three things, pain, pride, and poor choices, are all wrapped up into so many of our stories. Pain, of course, is where things happen to us that create this hardness of our heart that wants to keep others out. But unfortunately, when we have pain in our stories and we begin to hold others at an arm's length, guess what happens? Not only do we keep other people out, but we keep God out as well. Because what do we want to do when we're in pain? We want to self-protect. Self-protect. protect. And so we put this barrier around ourselves. We kind of put this hard shell on our lives, right? That doesn't let people in, doesn't let God in, because we're self-protecting. I'm going to tell you, there are people here that have had a lot of pain in your story. Some of it may have been rather self-inflicted. If you look at your story, you say, yeah, I made poor choices that led to a lot of pain. But there's others here who that wasn't your story. That through maybe family situations, through abuse, you've experienced a lot of pain that was not of your choosing. Can I tell you, God knows your story. God knows the joys, but he also knows every pain. When you look at the life of Jesus, can I tell you, he is someone who understands human pain. He understands betrayal because he was betrayed. He understands vicious lies and attacks because he experienced those in his own earthly story. He also experienced spikes being driven through his hands and his feet, being stripped naked in the most gruesome but publicly humiliating way. I'm telling you, I don't think any of our stories probably come close to what God did for you and me. And no matter what our pain is, I'm telling you, we can allow God into those places. And we can let people into those places. Something that I believe is often the case is that when we've been hurt by people, God will often use other people into those same areas in order to bring healing. But I'll tell you, pain is one of the main ways that we get all hard and crusty. We try to self-protect. We try to hold people out, but in the process, we hold God out as well. And the soil of our hearts gets really trampled and hard. The second thing about pride. Pride is always when we say, I know better than you. I've got this figured out. This area of my life, I've got all the answers. So maybe our marriage is really struggling. Kelly and I, boy, I'll tell you, we've been married this June, it'll be 30 years. We got stories. We got stories. And part of those stories, not really positive or wonderful. She will tell you. You know, but part of our story is that, man, I had so much pride in me as just a husband and as just a young guy growing up that the hardness in my heart through pride came out in all kinds of ugliness towards my wife. It was not good. And after, I don't know, probably 8-9 years, she started saying, Tim, we really need a counselor. We need to figure out what is going wrong here because that pride in my life, guess what? Would lead to poor choices, poor things I would say, which would lead into a whole lot of pain for my wife and in our marriage. Tim, we really need a counselor. No. Listen, we're children of God. We're even pastors. We can figure this out all by ourselves. I have this all figured out. Guess what that was? Pride. Crustiness in my heart that I didn't want to admit to another person that I'm dealing with stuff that is really, really barren and unfruitful. Pride will kill us. Pride leads to barrenness. And I'm telling you, it is part of this cycle that creates this hardness of heart, right? pain, pride, and the last one, poor choices. And I think there's a couple of kinds of poor choices that we tend to make that really harden our heart. One, you might think of like most readily, and that's like when we make a poor choice to do something that we know that would really hurt God and hurt other people. The Bible talks about sin. You know, that's just making a choice that is off target. It's not what God has for us, and we know it. So we go out and we get drunk, or you know, we smoke this or puff that or huff this, or I don't know what people do. But you know, all that stuff. We go onto websites where we know we don't belong there. We know we don't. But we make a choice to go down a road that is a poor choice. It's not what God has for us, and we know that, but we go there anyway. Let me tell you, sin does not break our relationship with God. Listen, you need to hear that. Our sin does not break our relationship with God. His love for you and for me is complete and intact even when we make stupid decisions. But what our sin does is it causes us to get all crusty, get all hardened. And the further we go down that path, the harder and harder it gets because we get embarrassed, we know we're doing wrong, and we don't want to admit that we're doing wrong. And so it circles back to pride where it says, nah, I don't want anybody to see the broken area of my life. And so we get harder and harder and harder the longer that we allow that to go. Sin sucks the life right out of us. Causes us to have barren lives. God still loves us, but I'll tell you, we become really barren and unfruitful when we make those poor choices. Here's the second kind of poor choice we make. Second kind of poor choice is when we come up with a decision that is against God's word. When we make a conclusion on something that is false. And basically what we're doing is we're believing something that is a lie of the enemy of our soul. And we believe it and we say, you know what? God could never love me. Oh, those are dangerous words. Because it literally is a choice that we're making. It is a choice to say, I am concluding that God could never love me. Now that's a lie. That is completely against what the heart of God is for you and for me. But we can buy into lies like that. Lies that say, you know what? I am too far gone in this direction. I will never be able to have a fruitful, whole life. It's a lie. But man, when we make that conclusion and when we let that thought come out of our mouth or rattle around too long in our mind and say, yeah, I've just concluded. I've made a choice that this is true about me. Or I've made a conclusion that that's true about you. Bad choice. Sometimes we're pointing at our spouse. Sometimes we're pointing at an ex-spouse. Sometimes we're pointing at a mom or a dad. Or a child, or a coworker, or a next-door neighbor. And I've concluded that they can never change. That they are too far gone, that everything is broken, and we kind of like speak unfruitfulness over them or over ourselves. And let me tell you, it is a lie, and when we can make those conclusions, it's one of those poor choices that makes us all crusty, hard hearts, because we make poor choices, either to actively go into an area of sin where we know we don't belong, or we make poor choices by concluding things that God said are never true. And our hearts can get really hard and crusty. We need to check the condition of our heart. And I want to finish back in Matthew 13 with a statement that Jesus made. In Matthew 13, 15, Jesus said this. The disciples had said, hey, Jesus, why do you always talk in stories? Why do you talk in parables? And Jesus, in his response, quotes actually the prophet Isaiah. And he's sharing with them about people with hard hearts. And he said this as part of his reply. He says, their eyes cannot see and their ears cannot hear and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Listen, in a parable, there's always kind of like two sides to the coin, right? Like every coin, right, has two sides. Parable is like a two-sided coin. There's the story part that's on the head side of the coin, right? It's like, that's the obvious part. Hey, Jesus is talking about a farmer who's sowing seed. There are different kinds of soils. Yeah, we all get that. That's like the natural way to see a parable or a story. It's just the natural. Jesus taught that way all the time because it allowed people to quickly understand. Oh, yeah. My neighbor's a farmer. Or I know a farmer. You know, hey, we're an agricultural society, and so we know all about seeds and different kinds of soil. So it allowed people to, in the natural, capture something really quick. But a parable always has a flip side. Always has the deeper meaning. Always has that truth embedded in it that God is saying, hey, it's more than just the natural. There's something supernatural that I want to share with you. So he tells this story. And Jesus is saying this. He's saying, listen, there are people that only see with their natural eyes. They only hear the story with their natural ears, but they don't understand. They don't allow that truth to come in and deeply penetrate. And then here's what he says. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. I want you to look at that in reverse, because the reverse is also true. There is the possibility that we would see, not just with our natural eyes, but with eyes that would see into the supernatural. That we don't just hear with our ears a story and say, okay, that's all there is, but we would allow the truth to penetrate our hearts in our lives. That we would not be hard-hearted where that truth just sits on the surface, but we would let it come in where it can germinate and put down roots and begin to bust up stuff and cause us to be fruitful people. And here is what Jesus would say. And when that happens, there's a healing that takes place. There's healing that is available when we don't just see with our natural eyes or hear with our natural ears, but we allow the truth of the Lord to penetrate deep within us, because his heart for us is to bring healing into every area where we've been hard and crusty, that he would offer his healing presence. That's God's heart for us. All of us deal with pain, with pride, with poor choices. All of us have gone beyond that 4 to 14 window, and we're maybe every area of our heart isn't like that childlike acceptance that, yes, God, I just believe in your love and your truth. I just allow that to penetrate the soil of my life. Some of us have gotten hard and crusty. Some of us, I'm telling you, our hearts have been so hard that we've never even said yes to just his offer of salvation. That we have not yet said, yes, God, I put my trust in you. We've heard the story that Jesus died for us, that through his death, that we have the opportunity to allow his life to cleanse us from all of our sin, all of our pain, all of our poor choices. He says, I want to just rinse that away. I'm going to cleanse you fully and completely. And you'll be my child, and we're going to be in relationship with each other. Many of us have heard that, but it sat on the surface of our life and we have not accepted it. We've not said, that's not just true generically, but God, I want that true for my story. I need your healing presence in my life. God, I want to invite you in to every area of my life. I don't want to hold you back. I want to take down the stay out sign. And I want to put up the come in sign. Come in, Lord.